Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 5. Ways in which the deceitfulness of riches seeks to operate. Topic: G. Attempts to use earthly things for the acquisition of heavenly things. Part 2: Godliness or devotion to God. Advancing here even a little further into what was discussed in the previous topic, we can see in the scriptures that a second example of the characteristics of deceitfulness that wants to lead people to trust in earthly things to obtain heavenly gifts is the desire to purchase the heavenly gift or benefit through demonstration of godliness, piety, or devotion to God. Godliness or devotion to God should result from an understanding of the great work of God's grace towards the person who has received salvation and newness of life in the Lord, and not as a mere instrument to try to extract the gifts of God for the person to be the holder of them in one's life. When approached by the operation of heavenly power through his life, Peter explicitly testifies that godliness is not what alone moves the mighty hand of God to manifest his gift to people, as described below. Acts 3:1-13. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Therefore, God gives his gifts to human beings and does not sell them for the price of money, but also not on the merit of people's effort or godliness. And the attempt to establish a commercial relationship with God, whether by material goods or out of devotion to God, for the sake of the gifts and not for understanding that God bestows the gifts because of his love for each person, is an attempt to establish the relationship with God on a basis of tangible items in human sight and by which the human being, ultimately, seeks to establish the regency or determination of what the Lord should grant him or her. Nevertheless, God did not care that the traitorous commercialization of the life of his Son Jesus Christ was done only for a mere 30 pieces of silver. God did not enter into the merit of the value of the betrayal of the life of his only begotten Son being very low because the Lord gave his Son to the world and did not sell him to the world for a human price. Furthermore, the Son of God, who also became the Son of Man to provide salvation for the world, has no price comparable with tangible aspects in the world or the devotion of human beings to the Lord. Thus, material riches, godliness, or devotion to God cannot reverse the position of God and the creation according to what was established by the Lord in line with what is true and righteous. And God will never change his condition of being the giver, and not the marketer or seller, of salvation and the newness of life to human beings. And if the Lord gave his beloved Son to the world to save the sinners, the greatest gift offered by God to humanity, it makes no sense to think that he would start to trade the other aspects of the heavenly kingdom in exchange for human goods or godliness, as also the following texts declare. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 5:8-11. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We highlight here once again, then, that godliness or devotion to God is not a conduct of life that gives a person the right to require reconciliation with the Lord, but it should be a consequence of the reconciliation granted by the righteousness, goodness, and grace of the eternal God. And, in turn, receiving God's gifts as a consequence of God's grace, and that godliness is not the cause of grace, is one of the main points that so challenges human beings because they cannot act toward grace with dominion over it through exchanges or commerce. That is, the condition of waiting and dependence on God are some of the aspects of life that people have the most difficulties living with, for they expose them to the reality of the condition of powerlessness that exists in themselves and in their actions to obtain the riches of higher and eternal values. Thus, entrusting one's life to God, even though it is the Lord who grants it, represents an enormous challenge for many people. In other words, no matter how limited and flawed people are in themselves, many insist on thinking that they themselves know how to manage their lives better than the one who created them. And for this reason, they want God's help in exchange or negotiation of riches and conducts so that they do not have to submit themselves in everything to the Lord. In general, human beings are continually looking for a point of support that supposedly will allow them to place themselves in a position of negotiation or bargaining with God under the idea of not having to recognize in everything the sovereignty that is due exclusively to the Lord. Nevertheless, as we have seen several times in the scriptures, the human being is not God. The human being is inferior to God, and neither human resources nor people's devotion to God can equal the human being with God at a negotiating table, as if the glory of God could be changed and reduced into the likeness of the image of the corruptible man. And asking again, what can human beings offer God that the Lord does not already have, cannot create, or cannot do? What devotion and service can a human being offer to the Lord that the angels cannot perform with greater perfection, more power, and higher glory? For this reason, as we have already seen in the previous topics, the offer that God aims to find in people is a contrite, broken, or humble heart that recognizes the greatness of God and his love for each person. In addition, one of the main characteristics of humility encompasses an individual moving away from the lofty positions that the deceitfulness of riches proposes to people to climb. 1 Peter 5:5b. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Still looking at the word humility according to the comments associated in the online Bible with the references of Strong's lexicon, we see, among others, the following characteristics. 1. The having a humble opinion of oneself. 2. Modesty, humility, lowliness of mind. 3. The having a humble mind. In this way, we can also see here that godliness or devotion to God expresses attitudes or postures that everyone should always practice because this is due to each human being before one's eternal Creator. Godliness or devotion to God is not a bargaining chip to obtain God's blessings. Godliness or devotion to God expresses a right attitude for a person to practice because one is a creature and the Lord is God. And yet, because a Christian, in Christ Jesus, has been made a child of God. A Christian loves because one was loved first. A Christian loves because one was first made a child of God. A Christian walks in the light because one first received the light to walk in it and because one was made a child of light. And it is not primarily the practice of these actions that makes a person obtain the love, the light of the Lord, and the condition of an eternal child of the Heavenly Father. Therefore, to think that a person can love, walk in the light, have the power to do good in order to obtain love, light, and power to do good is to consider that the human being, from oneself, can be good, ignoring, however, that one can only do good if these gifts are previously granted from heaven to an individual. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Ephesians 5:1-2, and verses 8-10. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And even more, God also does not want people to adopt a posture that godliness is offering gifts and sacrifices in special services to the Lord, trying to associate the first form of trying to buy God with money or goods with this second way in which they want to use godliness as a means of bargaining with the Lord. God wants people to do His will for the simple but powerful reason that it is good, righteous, and perfect. That is, Christians are called to do what is right and good, first of all, for the simple fact that it is the right thing to do and whose practice does not turn them away from what is right and good. And before God's righteousness, trying to add services, offerings of resources, and demonstration of godliness to what is contrary to God's will can never make what is wrong, evil, or unrighteous become right and just before the Lord. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Furthermore, we see in the book of Hebrews that the godliness that seeks to offer gifts and sacrifices through services or worship to God has no efficacy towards the conscience, or inner convictions, of the one who practices it, for in this type of godliness or worship it is still the creature who is offering to the Lord what the creation wants to offer or what one thinks God wants to receive as an offering. So, in this type of godliness, no one is perfected since people, through it, are still seeking to make the concept of bargaining chips prevail to try to obtain the gift or favor of God. Hebrews 9:9. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. What God wants from His children is that they accept the call that He as Father and Sovereign God makes them, which is the call to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the grace and faith that the Creator bestows on His creation. God does not need us to give back to Him what He has given us. The Lord wants us to use the gifts for the practice of good and the will of the Lord among the people of the earth. And it is so because following His will is the righteous and correct way of life. God does not grant resources and gifts to people for them to try to use them to bargain with God to obtain even more resources and gifts to satiate their fleshly greed and ambitions. God does not call people to seek material abundance that turns them away from the practice of mercy, righteousness, and humility before the Lord. And yet, as for the services and meetings said to be performed for God, how many of them, in reality, are not ceremonials of supposed offerings to God for people to try to obtain God's gifts for them, thus showing that the purpose of the services is actually directed to themselves? How many are not the people who go to meetings to be blessed by God and not to be instructed by the Lord to walk in humility, mercy, and according to God's righteousness? In the most varied places, there are countless services and meetings that refer to an attempt to establish a purchase currency and which, therefore, express a position of loftiness and sagacity to try to convince God that those who render worship have the right to the multiplication of their goods because they supposedly have given to God a little of what they received from Him. Despite not having true fear and reverence for the Lord when they are in their homes or their various affairs in the world, many people seek to offer services and offerings to God as if, in this way, the Lord would be under a demand to bless them. Thus, do not the actions of seeking to be godly to obtain more goods and more gifts, and not because it is simply the right thing to do and according to the newness of life in the Spirit of the Lord, precisely refer to greedy godliness aiming at a temporary or transient profit in the world? And do these actions not refer to services that lead people away from the path of truth rather than toward the way worthy of a child of light? The subject of the target of greedy godliness is also covered more broadly under the theme entitled Another Gospel or a Different Gospel. Given this, 1 Timothy 6, 3-6, and 9-10. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If the promises of blessings were withdrawn from services that require the offering of sacrifices of time, money, and gifts, would not many people stop attending them? And does this not demonstrate either that these types of worship are not indeed a search for the Lord's instruction to walk under the righteousness and grace of the Lord because they are children of God, but services to seek the guarantee and increase of gifts, resources, and money? In this way, the services and propositions of offerings that have their objective turned to material profit have in their consistency the same ingredients as the attitudes of Simon seen in the previous topic, that is, trying to acquire the heavenly gift through propositions of offerings or resources of the creation in order to have the right of possession of the heavenly gifts. And why not also say the dominion over God Himself in order to be able to determine how God should or should not act in the lives of those who supposedly worship Him? Therefore, like Simon, many people in every generation continue to try to reduce the God-giver of life, grace, favor, and riches to a God who is purchasable and manipulated by the material riches of the creation or by their devotions to Him. And because of this, too, they so much lack true heavenly grace. When tempting the Lord Jesus, the devil took Christ to a high mountain, for the mountains have always symbolized, for human beings, a place of dominion or elevation, but also the spots of many religious practices and worship of the gods. The devil associated high places with possessions and dominion over goods and kingdoms, but also with worshiping Him. That is, among his various evil intentions, the devil also wanted the Lord Jesus to take the bait of fascination or deception that worship, after all, is nothing more than a bargaining chip to obtain the world's riches. Nevertheless, God does not associate worship with a bargaining chip, for worship is the fruit of a life that first receives the Spirit of God by grace as a gift to worship the Lord through Him also in truth. Thus, human beings cannot worship God in truth if they do not first receive the Spirit of the Lord to guide them into all truth. That is, the basis of the Christian's worship of God is that one first receives the newness of life in the Lord through eternal grace, and not in a supposed godliness that would serve as a way to obtain the gifts of the heavenly kingdom. John 4, 23-24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Romans 11:35. Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him. 2 Corinthians 3, 17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The fascination of wanting to be godly, pious, or to render worship to try to buy the gift of God is highly recurrent in humanity. This is why it is so essential to know the working principles of the Lord's giving grace and remain in them continually.